Welcome to Digest This, the show that helps you revolutionize your digestive health. Here are your hosts, Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato.
Welcome to Digest This. I'm Tina Nunziato, and with me is Dr. Liz Cruz. Welcome to another show. For those of you that are avid listeners, you know that when I start a podcast, it's time for another GI focus. And we decided for this GI focus, we were going to talk about thrush. Yes, Dr. Cruz?
Absolutely.
Yes, you know, since it's kind of a mouth and a esophagus thing.
Yeah, and, definitely.
And so we wanted to talk about thrush. So Dr. Cruz, in typical... By the way, welcome to your show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, welcome. Good times, good times. I always like saying that into a microphone. All right, so Dr. Cruz, in typical GI focus fashion, please tell everyone, what is thrush?
Thrush is basically an infection in the mouth that is caused by candida or yeast. Mm-hmm. And, you know... Well, we call it thrush when it's in the mouth, but you can get it anywhere, mm-hmm. anywhere in your body. As a gastroenterologist, I think the most common place that I see it is in the esophagus. Mm-hmm. In the esophagus is a big, big place where we find it. I mean, not commonly, but that's typically where we find it when we're doing procedures, scoping patients. Mm-hmm.
And what if somebody has thrush, and let's say you're finding it during a procedure, mm-hmm. what are they typically presenting with in the office?
Usually, so if someone has candida or the yeast in their esophagus, usually what they're presenting with is difficulty, painful swallowing.
Okay.
All right. I mean, it causes a painful type of swallowing. Thrush. You know, thrush in the mouth, I mean, it could be going down into the down to the back of your throat, into the esophagus. I mean, typically those patients will have like white plaques in their mouth. You know, you look at their tongue and it's just white.
Okay. And what are, I mean, aside from doing a procedure mm-hmm. on them, like an upper endoscopy, what other tests can you run on these individuals to see if they do have thrush?
There are studies, radiology studies, like an upper GI series, where if you've got a really good radiologist, they can pick out some features in the esophagus on the imaging. Okay, on the radiology testing, wow. They can pick out some of the features that are more suggestive of yeast infection.
Really?
Yeah, they can pick up ulcerations. They can pick up, there's a lot of things that can be picked up on an upper GI series. You know, the thing that's happened through the years is that an upper endoscopy
is so much easier.
Has become like, you know, the gold standard, right. Almost on any symptom that patients have, you know, in their esophagus or in their stomach. So we tend to go more towards just going straight to an endoscopy mm-hmm. as opposed to getting an upper GI series. But an upper GI series is where you swallow some barium contrast mm-hmm. and then they take x-rays. They take different images as it's going down the esophagus and the stomach and into the first part of the small intestine. And it's actually a really great test. Mm-hmm.
And when you're doing a procedure on someone and you go in, what do you see that when you say, oh, that's candida?
You literally see white, like white plaques.
Okay.
I mean, just white, white stuff on the esophagus that mm-hmm. shouldn't be there, you know? And sometimes, I mean, if you just do an exam in the office and do a good oral exam, I mean, you'll pick it up by just looking in their mouth. Mm-hmm.
Is it slimy? Is it rough? What does it look like?
It's not, I mean, it's like white stuff. I was going to say fluffy stuff, but it's not really fluffy. I mean, you know, in the esophagus, I mean, it's in the worst case scenario, I had one upper endoscopy that I did about a year and a half ago, where the entire esophagus was just coated in this white, I'll tell you what it looked like. Mm-hmm. It was like white, creamy, thick.
Like
thick,
a heavy cream.
Like a heavy cream.
That you would just bake with.
Coating the esophagus. Wow. Yeah, just coating the esophagus. Yeah. I mean, that was just like amazing. And, you know, I mean, sadly enough, that patient ended up having HIV. Okay. But typically what we'll see, you typically will not see an esophagus where the entire esophagus is mm-hmm. just coated. This layer of this white, yellowish, creamy stuff. Mm-hmm. Typically what you'll see are just little tiny patches, sometimes just kind of scattered throughout the esophagus, sometimes mm-hmm. just in a few areas. And you can tell it's kind of whitish, a little yellowish, and it has a typical appearance. And most of the time, when once we do I'll take some tissue or do some brushings and send it off to pathology mm-hmm. and it comes back with okay. that.
And so I want to talk about why we get this. What is candida a little bit and where it comes from and why we get thrush in the mouth and why it goes down the esophagus and all that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about it because, you know, I want to just remind everyone that your body is the home to trillions of little microscopic organisms, okay? Trillions of bacteria. Also believe that we have yeast in us, okay? It just doesn't get manifested in everybody. Our defenses just kind of keep things under control. And plus, you've got a mix of good and bad bacteria, okay? And the whole goal is to kind of keep that balance where you have more of the good bacteria, mm-hmm. okay? So, you know, we've all got some yeast, and I believe that what happens, not I believe, I you know, not what happens.
I know what happens.
I know what happens. I'm sorry. It's been a long week. I think my brain is just kind of recovering from the last few weeks. But okay, so what happens is something that causes your immune system to go down mm-hmm. can predispose you to allowing, you know, this yeast to just kind of come in and overtake.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like take over.
And the yeast is typically coming from, it's like a byproduct of some of the foods that we're eating.
Yeah, I mean, we've got yeast.
Yeah, yeast is coming from breads.
Yeah,
right?
You can
and
get
alcohol.
Right. And yeast loves sugar mm-hmm. and it loves warm
environments,
mm-hmm. dark, mm-hmm. moist environments, mm-hmm. which is why sometimes, for example, in a woman, sometimes they will actually get a little bit of a yeast infection mm-hmm. underneath on the bottom of their breast.
Okay.
And also, you may have a person who may be a little bit overweight, and some of their folds down in the bottom of their abdomen where it doesn't get aerated, mm-hmm. it doesn't get aired out well, you know, they can also get a little bit of growth of yeast. Mm-hmm. I mean, babies get little diaper rashes, which can be caused by yeast.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, some of the more common things that we will see in patients who will get yeast infections are, number one, someone who's been on antibiotics, mm-hmm. okay? Someone who's been on antibiotics. It's very common for a woman, especially, who's been on antibiotics to get a vaginal yeast infection.
Right.
Okay?
Because the antibiotics are killing off not only the bad bacteria, but also good bacteria.
Yeah.
So it predisposes them.
Just kind of allows for overgrowth mm-hmm. of some of the organisms that are typically kept in check mm-hmm. and they're more dormant. And now, you know, you've killed off a lot of the good bacteria and, you know, you're just kind of, I mean, it provides an environment in which some of this yeast can grow. Mm-hmm. Immunosuppressed patients. Okay, immunosuppressed patients is another situation where you can get yeast infections. Mm-hmm. So someone who has maybe been undergoing some chemotherapy, you know, they've got some form of cancer, they're immunosuppressed, someone who has certain infections like HIV, mm-hmm. you know, who's immunosuppressed. Patients with diabetes also are predisposed to it. Somebody who is taking steroids. Mm-hmm. Taking steroids can definitely predispose you to yeast infection. Right. And sometimes we don't really have a clear explanation for why they get a yeast infection. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have diabetes, they're not immunosuppressed, they're not on any form of steroids. You know, especially someone who takes some sort of a steroid inhaler, where they're getting that stuff, that medicine into their esophagus, you know, they typically can get these yeast infections. Mm-hmm. So there are patients where I will find yeast where I can't figure out a really good reason for why they had it.
Mm-hmm. And when you find yeast in someone and you say yes for sure, what, no matter what test comes mm-hmm. back, it says yes, you know, they have thrush or just candida overgrowth. What do you do then? What are the medicines you suggest?
Yes, there's a medicine that we usually will treat with. It's an antifungal that we'll use to treat these patients. With our patients who get the yeast like in their esophagus, usually we'll give them like a 14-day course of this antifungal medicine. It's called fluconazole or diflucan is the other name. You know,
is it a capsule?
And there's others. I don't know. It's a capsule or a pill. I'm not sure.
Yeah. But it's not a liquid.
No.
It's
no.
capsule form.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it comes in liquid. It may come in liquid. Okay. I use the
capsule,
tablet or pill form, okay. whatever it is. And okay. And we treat them for 14 days. And then, you know, while we're trying to, at the same time, trying to figure out why they got the yeast infection to begin with.
So that it doesn't occur again.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Because you're just treating it with the medicine, but you need to try to figure out why
they
have it.
Where it's coming from. Yeah. Right. Yeah, and I know I've talked to a lot of patients over the years about candida and yeast overgrowth in the body and just really encouraging them to eat cleaner, mm-hmm. less sugar,
less
alcohol.
Sugar. Absolutely.
You know, less of those kind of processed carbs, you know, those types of things. And that usually helps a lot
absolutely.
Of people.
Absolutely. Know. And that's, you know, that's a great point. We, you know, with any of these patients, that's a big thing to just really counsel them to really cut down on their intake of sweets. Mm-hmm. Okay. And like you said, alcohol, the carbs, because like I said earlier, the yeast just love the sugar. Mm-hmm. They love the sugar. And so one of the ways that you can help control it mm-hmm. is by not feeding it.
Mm-hmm. What about probiotics too? I know we've used probiotics
yeah,
in a lot of patients.
I'm a huge believer in probiotics. I mean, I personally think everyone mm-hmm. should be on a probiotic, healthy or unhealthy, with mm-hmm. a lot of medical issues.
Right.
You know, because especially here in the States, I mean, we're constantly bombarded by stress of some form for one reason or another. The diet here in America, an American diet with processed food, sugary drinks, beverages, you know, coffees, sodas. Mm-hmm. I mean, all that sugar is
a recipe
is
for
just
disaster.
Feeding. Yeah, it's just feeding that yeast.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, being able to put them on that medicine that you suggested while at the same time giving them some probiotics to help mm-hmm. build up that good, healthy bacteria again. And we've had a lot of patients who will just keep taking the probiotics and then not get the candida
right.
anymore.
Right, so. And one of the things that I try to make sure I do with everyone I'm putting on antibiotics is to put them on probiotics right. at the same time. You know, if I'm putting them on antibiotics for whatever, you know, it is that I'm treating, most of the time it's because they've got a bacteria in their stomach and I'm treating them with a couple, two or three antibiotics. You know, I typically will put them on some probiotics.
At the same time. Yeah, and I want to emphasize that because some patients think that because they're on an antibiotic, they can't take a probiotic until the antibiotic is gone. And I want to make sure people know that you can absolutely take them at the same time.
Yeah,
and
I mean, really what you're critical. Trying to do, absolutely, what you're trying to do is just bombard the intestine and just kind of, I mean, just try to bombard it with good, healthy bacteria.
Mm-hmm. Right, while at the same time killing off
that's right.
stuff.
So, that's right.
Yeah. All right, anything else you'd like to share about thrush before we wrap up this GI Focus?
You know, I just want to mention that A couple things. Make sure that you're drinking plenty of water, okay? And preferably alkaline water, you know? And it's no surprise and it's no secret anymore. You know, alkaline water is becoming more and more well known. The benefits of it are becoming, you know, people are starting to understand the benefits of it. And you can buy it at, you know, typically you can buy it at most health food stores. I mean, here in Arizona, we have Sprouts and Whole Foods. But, you know, I've seen alkaline water even at Walmart.
Yes.
Another thing is our detox. You know, we have a gentle detox that you can take on a daily basis, which is a really strong protease, which helps in breaking down, you know, breaking down the coating that surrounds some of these bacteria and viruses and
funguses,
you know, funguses that mm-hmm. don't belong in our body. Right. And so it's really something that I highly recommend, the detox. And again, it's not the type of detox that's going to keep you attached to the toilet. Mm-hmm. This is a very gentle detox, but it's made to be taken on a daily basis. And if you want more information on it, please check it out on our website, www.drlizcruz.com, and learn some more about it.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for teaching us about thrush.
Absolutely.
We look forward to catching you on the next podcast.
Thank you for joining Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato. To learn more about their revolutionary products and services, go online to www.drlizcruz.com.